Welcome, everybody, here to Martin's Community Methodist Church. Once again, it's been a beautiful week for all of us here. I'm glad you all could make it to the house of the Lord where we can worship and praise our God. Let us start our service with a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice in you. We thank you that you pour your grace down upon us as we look to be a light here in the community of Martinsville. We pray for those in this community that do not know you. We pray that you open up opportunities for us to share your love, share your message, and to share the good news that there is a place for them in heaven. Father, we also want to lift up our country, as we know that in this election season, things really look pretty sad. So we pray that you will put godly men in office. We pray that for those that are in office, that you send godly men to them with godly wisdom to guide our country. And of course, during this time of war, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel, because they are your chosen ones. And your scripture teaches us to lift them up. And this is what we cry out to you, Lord. Peace in Jerusalem. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen and amen. Let us continue our worship service. Please stand and let's do the call to worship together. Please read with me. Lord, you were called us to life. You called us into being. We are people of action and contemplation, work and rest, prayer and ministry. Help us to find the right balance in our lives. Lord, you created us individually. We are all wired differently. Some of us are more geared toward action. Some of us excel in reflection. We all need both. Help us to find the right balance in our lives. Lord, we live in a culture where actions are valued more highly than contemplation, where doing is rewarded and reflecting is sometimes forgotten. Help us to find the right balance in our lives. Let us worship God. Turn to page 821, titled Psalm 100. Page 821, Psalm 100, for our responsive reading. Please join me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Please be seated. Let us read our text today. It's in the end of Revelations, Revelations chapter 22, verse 12, just one verse, Revelations 22, verse 12, which reads, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render every man according to what he has done." Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we open your word and try to understand the meanings of these words, as we thread through your scriptures to understand and grasp what these rewards are all about. You talk about crowns. You talk about giving us praise. Help us understand. Let your Holy Spirit illuminate us as to what these words mean to us for ourselves. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen and amen. I am continuing in the basics of our faith. That's the basics of the Methodist Church, the basics of being a Christian, which is all laid out in Scripture. And of course, I talked about at the first part of the year, heaven and hell and their existence. And whether you believe in heaven or hell does not matter, because God said they're real places that exist, and your eternal destination is either going to be one or the other, and that there's going to be a judgment day. In fact, there's seven different judgments, which means there's seven different days of judgment. And the good news is you may have a little choice into which judgment you show up at. And of course, we want to show up at the Bema Seat judgment. This is the judgment where Christ judges us. And that can be found in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, we also have as our ambitions, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So, this is the judgment that we want to be at. This is a time when Christ is giving out rewards to the church age believers. These are all the people who are written in the book of life through the blood of Christ. And I want to go through what are some aspects of these rewards. Well, one aspect is praise. We all want to receive praise. Well, God wants to praise us. Okay? We'll receive the praise of the Father. Right there where it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. And let me turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who with both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motive of men's hearts, and each man's praise will come to him from God." Catch that. God will be praising you. God will be praising you for the things that you did that maybe nobody else knew about, or what other people ridiculed, and you did them in private. You prayed for people, did a number of things. God is going to lift you up and give you praise at what you had done. And then we go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, where it says, "And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" The praises will not just be, "Oh, good job," slap on the back. You will enter the joy of Jesus and what was done through Christ, faith in Christ. Okay? So at the time when Jesus returns, you'll be lined up and he'll be giving you praise for what you did in faith in Christ. And everybody will know about it then. And remember, we do not toil to receive cash or something that we can possess of our own to make our own self more important. But we toil because we want the praise of Jesus and to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But part of this praise and rewards is also crowns. Okay, and Paul uses the illustrations of the Olympic Games to describe about these crowns and what these crowns are all about. And in fact, I want to read an excerpt from the book I've been reading called Heavenly Rewards. It's by Mark Hitchcock. And I'll be reading from page 81 and 82. And it's titled Privileged Crowns. The third kind of reward the Lord will give at the judgment seat is privilege and honors. These privileges come in two forms, with the first being crowns. A bit of background here is helpful. As you've already seen, the city of Corinth in Greece, where the Apostle Paul's headquarters during his second missionary journey, he spent 18 months there preaching and teaching God's word. This is found in Acts 18:11. Not far from Corinth was the Isthmus Games, and the New Testament scholar Gordon Free notes, these games held every 2 years under the patron of Corinth, and second only to the Olympics, were extravagant festivals of regional athletics and arts, attracting thousands of competitors and visitors from all over the empire. Paul would have been in Corinth during the games of AD 51 in the spring. Crowns were awarded at these games. Now, when we hear of a crown, we usually think of a beautiful, glistening, golden royal crown with jewels. But the crowns given to the victors at this ancient games were not diadems or royal crowns, but Cephon crowns, which are ones like a wreath or a garland made from twisted leaves, pine shoots, parsley, or olive branches. In spite of its humble appearance, the Stephanos was the gold medal of its day and brought great honor and benefits to the victor, in the same way that a gold medal does for today's Olympic athletes. The New Testament outlines 5 different crowns that the Lord will bestow on the faithful at the Bema Seat judgment. And what are these crowns? Let me go through them very quickly. There's the incorruptible / imperishable crown that's found in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 27. Then there's the crown of righteousness, and that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. And there's the crown of the life, the crown of life, and that's found in James chapter 1, verse 12. And then there's the crown of rejoicing, and that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19. And then there's the crown of glory in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Now, you can receive more than one crown. You're not limited to more than one crown. But the thing is about the crowns here, you will not take pride in this crown. Because there in Revelations chapter 4, 9 through 11, we'll be casting our crowns at Jesus' feet. Let me read you that scene. Revelations chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor, power, for you have created all things, and because of you will they exist and were created. So I want you to understand, these crowns that we'll be receiving are not something that we will take great pride in, because it was all done by our faith in Christ. It was all done by God. And we will just revel in the ability to worship him and set our crowns at his feet. So let me walk through them one by one and talk about a little bit more about what they are and how you can get them. The first is the incorruptible and imperishable crown. And we read in 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wealth, but we are an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not to beating the air. But I discipline my body to make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You see, this particular crown has to deal with following the Christian disciplines of life. If you know, if you've been a Christian for many years, you know that you have devotions, Bible readings, praying, seeking wisdom, all these things roll into the disciplines of a Christian life. And it is a discipline. You have to make a point of doing them. And that's what this crown is all about. So you should focus on your daily Bible reading, your devotions, praying, seeking God's wisdom and plan. And of course, self-denial of worldly things. Depend upon the Spirit, waiting on God and exercising your faith, resisting temptation, and control our physical bodies. It all can be summed up by living a sanctified life. And this is very much what being a Methodist is all about. And Wesley talks about greatly about disciplining your life, doing these Christian disciplines. And of course, this is not a quick one. This is one that you do over a long life, like a marathon. It never seems to end. Every day, every morning to get up and start with prayer, every day to call upon God, every day to try to understand what God wants you to do that day. For all those efforts of a lifetime, of your lifetime with Christ, you will receive this imperishable crown. This is how you get it. The second crown is the crown of righteousness. This can be found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is another crown. It's a crown that is difficult to get because it involves many, many, many times of just waiting on the Lord. And let me read you, I think, better an excerpt from the same book again, Heavenly Rewards by Mark Hitchcock. Let me read a paragraph from page 83, where he describes the crown of righteousness. At the moment of salvation, every believer receives the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without his righteousness, we cannot be saved and enter into heaven. The crown of righteousness is a special capacity to enjoy righteousness given to those who eagerly look for the Lord's coming and live a righteous life in view of that fact. The crown, sometimes called the Watcher's Crown, the reward refers to the crown awarded for finishing the race of life righteously, with our eyes on Jesus, especially anticipating his return. As you know, especially nowadays, we've been talking about we're looking for the return of Christ. It's got to happen soon. The rapture's coming quickly because the end times are coming upon us fast. Well, this is what this crown is about, is living in that great expectation that Christ is coming back. And without absolute surety, you don't know when, but he's coming back. And through this expectation of Christ coming back, it's an expression that as we keep our eyes on Jesus, it transforms our entire lives. And we can read this in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are all children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. And so, as we keep our eyes on Jesus and the great expectation that he's coming and returning, and we want to be sanctified, we want to be like him, we know when he arrives, he will have a reward for us. So keep looking for Christ. That's how you get the crown of righteousness. And then there's the crown of life. And we find this in James chapter 1. He opens it right off. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who loved him. And I also want to read the same thing, crown of life, in Revelation 2:10, where it says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." We're not talking about salvation. Keep that in mind, because salvation was done at the cross. Jesus' sacrifice that he made and the blood he shed covers all of us. And we will live in Christ's kingdom for all eternity because of that gift. No, this is an award, a crown for enduring trials of life and persecution. Okay? I want to read James 1:1-2 again. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you enter into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Okay? This is all about waiting out in faith and getting through the trials in the faith of Christ. Okay? Your crown requires you to endure through faith and difficulties. And sometimes they never seem to end. But for that, you'll receive the crown of life. And there's the crown of rejoicing. This can be found in two locations. First Thessalonians. Chapter 2:19, where we read, "For who is our hope or joy or crown for exaltation? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming." And then we go to Philippians 4:1, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, and my joy and crown, in this we stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." This is known as the soul winner's crown. It is for people who strive to bring people to Christ. You don't have to be an evangelist, because remember, everybody is awarded according to their gifts. So if you've got the gift of evangelism, you are looked at much different than those that are not having that gift, but still reach out and endure casting seed. And I use that term, casting seed, because it's like the story there in Matthew chapter 13, And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed, fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And I want you to understand the story of the sower. When you look at it, the sower worked very hard, but only one of the four soils produced. And my experience at trying to win souls, it's a lot of hard work. And even if you get one out of four, you're doing really good, because usually it's a whole lot less than that. But I would like to see each of you get this crown. And one of the ways you can do that is we've got the church program. Very simple. It's got a little QR code in the bottom of it. You can share that with people. You can mail it to someone. I knew somebody that would take and send notes of encouragements to her unsaved neighbors. Okay, they would say comments and praises and say they're praying for them. But here in our case, you can send the bulletin and say, hey, check out the message. The QR code's at the bottom. You can listen to it. Or I've got some cards in the back. Take as many as you need or ask me for more. You can include those in your cards. They have one of my websites, Lizard Tracks, where we have a podcast, which is a daily devotional Monday through Friday. And also, our patents.org address, where we have the messages from church here, all with a goal of helping you win souls for Christ so that you can have this crown of rejoicing. And so I encourage you to send notes to people you know here in Martinsville, because our goal is to reach out to the community and be a light in the community right here in Martinsville. So it seems to be this is an easy way for us to reach out so that you can personally get one of these crowns when you get to heaven and listen to the praise of our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's the last crown, the crown of glory. And I'll have to read that, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and witnesses of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over these allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive an unfading crown of glory. Now, this particular crown is reserved for church leaders, pastors, elders, and other church leaders who shepherd the flock and care for the people of God. If you want an exact list, we can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, reading through 13. And he gave some as apostles, and some of prophets, and some of evangelists, and some are pastors and teachers, for equipping the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man and to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. These are the people we're talking about who can get this crown. Okay, the list is fairly specific. Some of you would qualify, but some of you would not. So, I want to wrap up my time here. Is that I would like to see you, even though it may be the later part of years of your life, to strive for one of these crowns. Christ wants you to please him. And he's rewarding for the work you have here on earth with glorious crowns, crowns that you'll be casting at his feet. But it is for all of us to strive and endure for those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." So go and pursue a crown. Amen. Turn to page 889, Affirmation Faith from 1 Timothy. Please read with me. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is true and the worthy of full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. As we close our service, I will read the benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Go forth in the world in peace. Amen and amen.